One of the first things I learned when I discovered Unitarian Universalism 25 years ago now is that I can be part of a religious community and still believe anything I want. That instead of a creed, a fixed belief or set of beliefs that I had to agree with, you use had a set of seven principles our congregations affirm and promote. And this offers us the freedom to choose and build what we believe. Were any of you who came from different faith traditions told that when you found Unitarian Universalism, that you can believe anything you want? This influenced what I thought UUism was for a lot of years. I believed that I had found a place in which I could fully embrace the faith journey I was on, that I could delve myself fully into it. I believed that this tradition was all about supporting me in my own search for truth and meaning. Yeah, I even argued with a woman at my last congregation, not as minister, but as a lay leader. I argued with a woman who was a deeply passionate and dedicated worker for justice. When she said that she came to church for support for that work, I told her I was there for support for my faith journey. Neither of us understood the connection between those two things, how rooted our faith is in that connection, and how it's articulated in our principles, how clear it is that it isn't just about believing what we want. I have a deeper understanding of those principles and how integral they are to that connection now. I'm going to read them to you and then delve into them just a little bit. We, the member congregations of the Unitarian Universalist Association, covenant to affirm and promote: 1, the inherent worth and dignity of every person; 2, justice, equity, and compassion in human relations; 3, acceptance of one another and encouragement to spiritual growth in our congregations; 4, a free and responsible search for truth and meaning; 5, the right of conscience and the use of the democratic process within our congregations and society at large; 6, the goal of world community with peace, justice, and liberty for all; 7, respect for the interdependent web of all existence of which we are a part. These 7 statements were adopted by the delegates of the 1985 General Assembly of Congregations, our annual meeting where we do business and vote on things and learn things and all kinds of other things. And the statements are also part of our association's bylaws in what is called Article 2, the second article of our bylaws. So both Unitarians and Universalists have a history of creating statements about our beliefs. This principled statement didn't come out of nowhere. Not of handing them down, right, from a leader or a council, because we have this congregational polity, right? Our congregations make our own decisions. But building them during gatherings of their people. Because even though we have congregational polity, well, not even though, part of congregational polity is getting together and holding each other, right? Responsible for our learning together. So in 1790, for example, the Philadelphia Convention of Universalists adopted 6 articles of faith concerning, quote, the Holy Scriptures, the Supreme Being, the Mediator, the Holy Ghost, and good work. This is what the late 1700s Universalists were concerned with. And in 1803, the New England Convention of Universalists, you notice I'm naming different areas, right? Because they met in different areas. They created the Winchester Profession of Belief, which included not only statements of belief about God and Jesus and universal salvation and good works, but a statement of church governance, how the church runs. And in 1917, the Universalist General Convention, a national body, adopted a Declaration of Social Principles, which said in part, the Universalist Church recognizes the fact that no individual and no nation can live a completely effective Christian life in an unchristian social order. We therefore declare the primal task of the church today is to be the reconstruction of the world's civilization in terms of justice, peace, and righteousness, so that the spiritual life of all may develop in its fullest capacity. So there goes my argument with my then friend. The American Unitarian Association created a statement of purpose in 1825 and a statement of beliefs in 1853. And that statement of beliefs read a lot like a creed. It started off by saying, we desire in a denominational capacity to assert our profound belief in the divine origin, the divine authority, the divine sanctions of the religion of Jesus Christ. This is the basis for our associated action. This is the Unitarians in 1853. And it continued with a set of statements, each of which started with, we believe. This was during a time that the Unitarians were trying to define themselves publicly. Later statements were framed as covenants, more about how we are with each other as individuals and congregations, or as statements of belief that were adopted by many congregations. And so we actually do have a history of making faith statements. And in 1961, when the Universalists and the Unitarians finalized the consolidation that created the Unitarian Universalist Association, the new organization adopted this following set of principles. One, to strengthen one another in a free and disciplined church for truth as the foundation of our religious fellowship. Two, justice, One, to strengthen one another in a free and disciplined search for truth as the foundation of our religious fellowship. Two, to cherish and spread the universal truths taught by the great prophets and teachers of humanity in every age and tradition, immemorially summarized in the Judeo-Christian heritage as love to God and love to man. Three, to affirm, defend, and promote the supreme worth of every human personality, the dignity of man, and the use of the democratic method in human relationships. Four, to implement our vision of one world by striving for a world community founded on ideals of brotherhood, justice, and peace. Five, to serve the needs of member churches and fellowships, to organize new churches and fellowships, and to extend and strengthen liberal religion. And six, to encourage cooperation with men of goodwill in every land. 1961, first set of principles in Unitarian Universalism. So not only do we have this history of making faith statements, we have a history of changing them to move with the times and create ever-widening circles of inclusion. The 1961 Statement of Principles included a wider range of theological possibilities than just the Christianity of the historical Unitarians and Universalists, and it centered the human experience. And it used gendered male language, it assumed the existence of universal truths, and it was framed in the language of unity rather than the language of inclusion. The 1985 Statement of Principles that we use today was championed by women who didn't see themselves in that 1961 version, and its drafters created language that was more inclusive. And the same thing is happening today. And it's happening in two ways. First, the UUA board has created a study commission and has charged them to, quote, review Article 2 of the UUA bylaws and propose any revisions that will enable our UUA, our member congregations, and our covenanted communities to be a relevant and powerful force for spiritual and moral growth, healing, and justice. Proposed changes should articulate core UU theological values. The charge is much longer than that, and it includes the right and responsibility to draft the entire Article 2, including the principles and sources, and a statement on inclusion as it sees fit. They're further instructed, quote, to include in its considerations and deliberations the clear call at GA 2017 for the inclusion of another principle, explicitly calling us to be committed to active anti-racism. We also notice that there is a growing urging for us to better articulate our recognition of rights of being for all beings. That's about the first principle, the inherent worth and dignity of everyone. There is a movement to reword that to the inherent worth and dignity of all beings, so it's not just human focused. And the last of the quote is, the commission should consider how this might be included. And number two, there's work happening outside the study commission, right? Because we don't just study things and move them down the line. We have ideas bubbling up everywhere. So the work happening outside the study commission explicitly includes a focus on the principles on anti-racism and multiculturalism. That began at GA 2017 as well. GA stands for General Assembly. And that was before the commission was created. Paula Cole Jones is the Director of Racial and Social Justice for the Central East Regional Group of our association. She developed an idea of the existence of two different paradigms in UU circles. Sorry, that was a B. She developed the idea of the existence of two different paradigms in UU circles, the UU Seven Principles and Beloved Community. After working with congregations on these issues for over 15 years, Ms. Jones realized that a person can believe they are being a good UU and following the Seven Principles without ever thinking about or dealing with racism and other oppressions at the systemic level. Evidence is that most UU congregations are primarily European American in membership, in culture, in leadership, even when they're located near diverse communities. She realized that an eighth principle was needed to correct this, and she worked with UUs of color to draft one. It reads like this. We, the member congregations of the Unitarian Universalist Association, covenant to affirm and promote journeying toward spiritual wholeness by working to build a diverse, multicultural, beloved community by our actions that accountably dismantle racism and other oppressions in ourselves and our institutions. The principle incorporates the idea of beloved community, but not, as the Black Lives of UU website says, the widely held understanding of beloved community as simply an affectionate, loving community. Beloved community is a term first coined in the early days of the 20th century by philosopher theologian Josiah Royce. It gained popularity through the prophetic work of Martin Luther King Jr. and the civil rights movement. Beloved community happens when people of diverse racial, ethnic, educational, class, gender, sexual orientation, backgrounds, identities come together in an interdependent relationship of love, mutual respect, and care that seeks to realize justice within the community and in the broader world. It's also, like the 1985 principles, incorporates an explicit focus on actively dismantling racism and other oppressions through personal and institutional work. And that should say, unlike, unlike the 1985 principles, right? It focuses explicitly on this work. It's being driven by Black, Indigenous, and other people of color who don't see themselves in the current principles, just like the 1985 change was driven by women. The two organizations for people of color in the UUA, Diverse Revolutionary Unitarian Universalist Multicultural Ministries, or DRUM, and Black Lives of Unitarian Universalism, or BLU, they have both endorsed this principle. They've been encouraging congregations to accept it, and so far 117 of them have. 117 of our UU congregations have gone through a process of diving more deeply into this history than I can do in 20 minutes, no matter how fast I talk. Learning about the good work we've already done in our journey toward wholeness and inclusion, exploring and committing to accountability to UUs of color, and learning why we're being asked to take this specific step with this specific language. The Black Lives of UU website also calls these things to our attention. And I'm quoting them kind of as my closing quote, because their words are way better than mine. First, UUism has great potential for building diverse, multicultural, beloved community, as envisioned by Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., not just Europeans, Americans, and African Americans, but including Native Americans, Latinx people, and other cultural groups globally, and could experience tremendous diversification, vitality, and thriving if it works to embody this vision. But it won't happen without conscious awareness and effort on our part. Second, the UU principles were designed to be dynamic, not a fixed creed. It means we want to always continue to be educating ourselves, exploring truth, raising our consciousness. When we get to a new level of understanding and clarity, our structure makes it possible to reflect that. Unitarian Universalism is the only religion that intentionally builds in that flexibility to acknowledge the importance of ongoing revealed truth. This happened when environmental awareness reached a critical mass and got added as a seventh principle in 1985, though it also has multicultural relationship implications. We're approaching a similar critical mass level of awareness with the systemic nature of racism and other oppressions. Three, none of the other principles mentions love. By having beloved community in the eighth principle, it brings our commitment to love higher in our consciousness, consistent with our Side with Love campaign. And I would add to that, that it brings our traditional historical emphasis on the love that holds us all, that is the universalist part of our heritage, to the forefront. And four, from the Black Lives of UU page, the eighth principle is really just the beginning of action rather than the ultimate goal. It should lead to restoring funding and support for anti-racism training for any UUs who want them and the other programs of the late 90s, as well as starting an anti-racism version of the Welcoming Congregation program that was so effective for LGBTQIA+ awareness and progress. Many people of color have been attracted by the values and potential of UUism, but their souls have been repeatedly wounded by its whiteness. Let's make our actions match our values. Let's be a UU movement that feeds them. That would be spiritual wholeness. So I'm here today to plant the seed for this specific work. Our congregation has been offering ways for us to do the personal work of anti-racism for years, and has partnered with local organizations to take actions grounded in that work. Our board has also done explicit work and is continuing to do explicit work in dismantling the culture of white supremacy over the last few years. I believe that educating ourselves about the eighth principle is a good step on REEB's continuing journey and mission towards wider inclusivity and being more rooted in the statement of conscience on racial justice that we adopted in 2015. And I'd like to see us be among the congregations that have adopted it and support it as part of the work of the Article II Study Commission. If you're interested in helping me lead this work at James Reeb, talk to me. I would like to see this happen as part of our adult religious exploration work this year. I'd love to see adopting it come up in our annual meeting in May. I am happy to answer questions during the virtual coffee hour, which I will be in for a bit, and with you all, which I will also be in for a bit, after the service and during my office hours next week and anytime. I think our congregation is ready for this. May it be so, and may we be so.